spiritual stability. Just where do you stand? How do you stand in life? The world has a lot of stuff to throw at you and snatch away from you in all kinds of other different ways that it works. But where do you stand? Is there somewhere you can stand where you are solid in the things that you need in your life, or are you tossed to and fro? And that's the thing that was said by Paul. He told them to be careful about where they stand. He said to the Ephesians, do not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And he says, by men, the sleight of men, in other words, people trying to trick you, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Yes.
Amen. So you have to be careful that you are fixed and grounded in the truth.
That's right.
That's why he said be rooted and grounded in love and in the truth.
Yes.
Amen. When you say rooted and grounded in love, the Bible tells you that God is love.
Yes, he is.
Amen. I just have an array here of cards and things that I received from various people for my birthday. And I just want to put those up there. That's what you see the image there is a number of cards and gifts that I received on yesterday. I just want to say thank you to everyone.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, a little flash of St. Timothy in there just to solidify my thanks to you. Amen. For all that you did, and really, really appreciated it. It was a really a great surprise. You all got me that time, I have to say. So I was trying, I knew something was coming, but I said, I don't know where it's coming from. But then when it came, I said, oh, I see. Now, hit me like a ton of bricks. So I do thank God for that. But it was a blessing.
Amen.
And so we just thank God for everything, every mode of grace.
Yes, we do.
And I consider that all to be grace.
Yes.
Because I don't feel that I necessarily deserve anything, but I thank God when he causes someone to be in my situation and look over and see that they think I'm credible or worthy for something. Amen. So we thank God for that. I just wanted to say that before we start. But to get us on this topic of spiritual stability, this is something that we all grapple with in life. It's kind of a thing that we have to get a grip on, if you will. And we're going to talk about that a little today, because I'm sure this is something that we need even more as we see the world turning more and more wicked.
Yes.
You know, and it's the same wicked world that it was, but now people are becoming flamboyant with their wickedness. And so when you see the foundations crumble, somebody asks the question, what will the righteous do? And when the foundations are being destroyed. And the answer is we're going to take a firm stand in the truth. Amen.
Amen.
We mentioned that verse this morning during Sunday school. Mark 13 and 31 says that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But my word shall never pass away. God says my word is going to be standing when I crumble and destroy everything else. Amen. And this world does have an appointment with destruction. And so we can see, as we see those things, Jesus even said things like this. He says, as you see the day draw near, look up, he said, for your redemption draws nigh. When you start to see the signs that the Lord has told you that will be coming up on the world, look up, he said. Remember, because he said when he left, he told them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He was the only one that was qualified to tell us. And then he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, he says, to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So he left with the promise that he would return.
Yes.
And in the meantime, he admonishes his believers, those who trust him, to not let your heart be troubled. Don't keep on being worried. Is what that means. Now that's John 14, which is not in our text. Y'all say, where is he coming from? I just want you to know that Jesus promised to return.
Yes.
And remember, as he was lifted up and taken up into a cloud from the Mount of Olives after he had instructed his apostles whom he had appointed to evangelize the world, they were standing there watching until he went out of sight. I thought about it yesterday when my grandson was over there cutting balloons loose. He was cutting them loose and the balloons were going up and he watched them until he couldn't see them anymore. You know, and it was like, wow, that must have been kind of how it was on the Mount of Olives. Jesus ascended into heaven and they watched until they couldn't see him anymore. They don't know where he went, you know, but he told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said that, didn't he? And then the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into the heavens? That same Jesus that was just taken up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. You know, that same Jesus, that one, that crucified one that had hung on the cross, that had the wounds in his hands and his feet. He shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. Now what that means is when he said, when I come back, I'm coming on the clouds with power and great glory. See, so he was taken up into the clouds. He says, I'm coming back on the clouds. And that's another phrase in the Hebrew literature and in the Greek that means I'm coming with power, to say I'm coming in the clouds. That's why he said with power and great glory. See, and the glory of God will be revealed. So that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the uppertaker. The one that's going to take us up. See what I'm saying? And even if the undertaker did have to take us down, he said, I'm going to get you too. The Bible says that that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means anybody who died in Jesus is 6 feet closer to God than we are. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says, therefore comfort ye one another with these words. We don't say that unless it's a funeral half the time. Yeah, but I want to talk about it right now. You know, I don't want your heart to be troubled. Jesus said that. Don't be worried about what's going on and what things are going on. You can see the world crumbling down, but don't you worry. Now, you know what? He always had to enforce his people. And we're going to take a look here at a text that's found in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, of course, we would say that this is from the Older Testament. The book of the law, it is called. And this would be the last part. When there was a time in history when Deuteronomy was the end of the Bible. That's when only books existed were the five books Moses had written. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was the final chapter in the Torah, the book of the law. No other scripture had existed at that time. Except so Deuteronomy was the last chapter. You could say Deuteronomy is to the law as Revelation is to the entire Bible. Okay, if you can understand that, that's kind of an analogy there. So I want you to see here that what Moses is saying, he realizes that his human flesh is getting a little old. Basically, he's growing closer to that time when he will probably not be able to function anymore. There is a biological side of life. You and I are all dealing with it, no matter how old we are. You know, something we deal with. Moses was beginning to see that, and God had given him specific instructions to tell his people, because he wants you to be comforted no matter where you are in that cycle.
Amen.
If you happen to be a child, he wants you to be comforted. If you are a young adult, he wants you to be comforted.
Yes.
God does not want you to be troubled no matter where you are in the cycle of human biology. Okay? And he wants you to take a stand in who he is.
Yes.
And so this is why we've chosen this title for this message, Fixing Your Stance in Life. You want to have your stance in life fixed. Where do you stand on the things in life? What's really important? Where is your footing in life? These terms here are basically, and we'll talk about it just a little, and we'll kind of expose this text as we go through it. A stance is a position, a fixed position that you have to take. Say, for example, this is somewhat of an ill metaphor, but you know how golfers, when they're about to hit a crucial shot, they have to get a certain spot, and you see them kind of tweaking their footing till I get right exactly where I need to be to whack that ball just right. They're taking a stance. They're checking their stance because I got to stand right to do the thing I need to do to get this shot. You see, so their footing has to be just right, you know, and so that's what it means to get yourself lined up in order for what's coming next or the thing that you're trying to accomplish. There's another word that we use, which is bearing. We have to get our bearings. How do we set where we're going, what our course is? You know, if we don't set our bearings and go a certain way, we're not going to get to the desired destination. We're not going to make it. You see, bearing is that word that means your posture, your gait, some people say. In other words, which direction are you going? Your demeanor, your manner, your attitude, your behavior. What am I going to do to make sure I get to the place I'm trying to go? What is my bearing, and is my stance fixed? You see, I have to be in a particular position to accomplish what it is that God has given me to do. And so Moses knew this about the people of God. And so we want you to see here that basically, the only way we can successfully arrive at the destination is to get on the right course heading and move in that direction and continue on that path until we arrive, even if there are delays, obstacles, or setbacks. These things happen in life. Something will try to stop you from getting where you want to go. Sometimes you'll be going and there'll be some delays, things that cause you not to be able to arrive
yes.
at the time that you want to or you need to. And so basically that's what this message is about, is how to fix your stance in life. You want this as a lifelong kind of a thing, but you can get a grip on it right now and you can have more stability even in shaky times. Today happens even to be the anniversary of a terrible thing that happened in our area not long ago. Today is 1 year since Michael Brown was shot down, gunned down by a police officer in broad daylight. And so we see a lot of changes have taken place in our area here and even across the country, and they say even around the world.
Yep.
Right now they're saying Ferguson is a buzzword around the world for things, a lot of things that pertain to police activity, military authority, and all these types of things in the world. It became like a pivot point when people's concerns turn to these kind of things.
Yes.
You know what? It should have been a long time ago,
Amen. Truth
be told.
Amen.
Because what happened, there's a lot of things that happened there. We're not here for political purposes today, and none in the least. But I am here to tell the people of God that no matter what happened, and no matter how far off base anybody is, God has not moved. We talked about this this morning. God is fixed. He is sure. His position is unmovable.
Yes,
and he tells us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as your labor is not in vain, in the Lord. If you keep on standing in God, you're on a good footing.
Yes.
And so that's what we want to talk about, is how do we keep ourselves fixed on the, keep our eyes fixed on the prize, or so to speak, as Jesus says, the writer to the Hebrews. Here in Deuteronomy, let's just deal with the text first. In chapter number 8, all the commandments, he says, I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the ways of the Lord of your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Look at that time period. That he may humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. See that? It was a test. Moving on, verse 3, and he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. See that?
Yes.
Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years.
Yes.
Thus, you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines of figs and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And so he told them, this is a promise. God is fulfilling his promise. Doesn't make any difference whether it looks like you're getting it right now or not. Sometimes it may look like you're not getting it. Sometimes it may look like the Lord is holding out on you. But he is disciplining you that you might know what's in your heart. God already knows what's in our heart. He wants to know, will you trust me anyway, even if it doesn't look like I'm keeping my word. If it looks like there's a delay or a setback, or something diverting you, or if you get turned the wrong way, or you step out of the path, he's checking us.
That's it.
See, and it's for our benefit. He's letting us know what's really in our heart.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we know something. Y'all know how that is. We think, oh, I got this. I know this. You know, and then we find out, no, you may not know at all. So God may allow you to go lean for a while just to watch and see.
All right.
What will they do? Will they continue to trust me? Will they continue to lean on me? You know, and he knows what's up. He's not going to let you down, that's for sure.
Yep.
He may allow you to go through some trouble, but he is not going to let you down, because you know what? He promised that he would bring you through.
Yes.
He is a man of his word.
Oh, yes, he is.
He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Never.
See, even though it might seem like in time, now look at this period here. This was 40 years.
40 years.
You know what? If you didn't get what you wanted in 40 years, a whole lot of us would have packed it up and just, that's it, I'm done. Yeah, we get undone real quick.
Yes, we do.
When stuff doesn't roll the way we think it ought to roll. And we're even quicker than that if I'm looking at somebody else. Like, if I got to look at somebody else, I'm going to give you less time than I would have gave me.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not fair with one another. We think more of what we're doing than what someone else is doing all the time. You know, that's why Jesus said, why is it that you can see the speck in your brother's eye, but you can't see the tremendous log that's in your own eye? You know, we have a lot of trouble. We can easily see something wrong with somebody else. But it's very difficult for me to look at myself and say, boy, you know, you are the one that's whacked. You got issues. You need to fix some stuff. Clean up around your door before you go try to clean up somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? And so this is the way it is. But that's just the way human nature is. Fallen human nature, we want it now. We don't want to wait. You know, we're impatient as a people normally. But God says, I'm just testing you.
That's it.
I'm going to bless you. I already promised the blessing.
My Lord.
There's no way it can fail.
No way.
Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's what he said, right? So it's coming. If I promise you, I'm going to bless you. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
You don't have to worry about it. You know. So why do we get fidgety in the middle of it and say, oh, you know, and we start pacing back and forth? Sometimes we try to do it ourselves. We're going to make it happen.
Yep.
Instead of waiting on God. But Isaiah told you, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, he said, just wait on God. If God told you it's coming, you can wait. You know, because when you wait, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Going to run and not be weary. And walk and not faint. He said, don't care what stage you're in. If you're in the running stage, you know, when you're younger, you kind of run it. And when you get a little older, you might have to try to walk and not faint just to get where you're going. See, but God says, I don't care where you are in your biological situation. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world, he said. You know, I'm going to be with you no matter what you're going through. And we do have issues. You know, but think about it this way. If we looked at it in another direction, the Bible says the wages for sin is death. So my biology is a little affected. That's better than death, isn't it? So we have to understand, God is keeping me here. He didn't have to, you know, but he wants to show you mercy. He wants to be gracious to you. He wants to bless you with those things he promised, all these things. He gave you a whole list of stuff that I'm ready to pour all this out on you if you just walk with me. You see, and so basically that's why he did it. He said, for 40 years, you got 40 years of evidence that I have never let you down.
40 years.
You know, I can say as of yesterday, I got 59 years.
Yes.
Of evidence that God has never let me down.
Never.
He has never forsaken me.
No.
I didn't get every little thing I wanted, but I got most of it.
Yes.
And I know the rest of it is coming. I'm looking for it. It's coming. I'm waiting on it right now. I'm getting my eagle's wings. I want to cruise because I know God is going to keep his end of the deal. No doubt about it. You see, and I don't have to worry about it. So that's the whole thing. Get that worry out of your mind. You know what? If you worry less, you can pray more. Instead of worrying, pray. Replace worry with prayer. You know, if you got something that you're worried about, throw it out your mind right away and cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. That's what the word says. Go into prayer. If we can learn that, boy, that would be a revolutionary thing. Instead of me worrying and going back and forth, oh, how am I going to deal with this? Get on your knees and say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And start to call upon God till he give you peace. You know what? Then you can get up that same time you spend worrying. Now it's fruitful time because it was fellowship with God. So I don't have to worry. I can just throw it on him. That's what he wants. You know, and so he's testing you to see, is your stance fixed on the things that I have promised? If I said it, you ought to know it's coming. He's given us multiple biblical examples. Told Abraham, I'm calling you, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram said, well, yeah, no, he didn't really question God at that time, but that sounded awfully good. In my seed? And I haven't had none? I'm 75? Oh, that sounds good. Let's go. Pack up everything, sir. We move it. You see, we're moving out. But leave all the rest of this. Pack up what we take and we're going. The rest of it stays. You see, and so he went out, not knowing whither he went, the Bible says. But he trusted God. Because you know why? God promised him something. And he thought, boy, this is, he didn't really think about the impossibility of the promise.
Yes.
You know, in fact, I haven't had any kids. I'm 75. We've been married a long time. We don't have any seed. But that sounds awfully good to me. And so he went out, not knowing whether he went. You know, the first thing the word says that Abraham did along the way when he was traveling to the land God told him, he built an altar. He built an altar. He sacrificed to God.
Yes.
See that? He knew what to do.
Oh, yes,
I'm not going to worry how you're going to do this, God. I'm just going to worship you and give you praise. You see, so if we could just learn that, we just learn that. That's something we need to learn. When we fix our stance in life on God, instead of worrying, we're going to set our bearings on the promises of God.
Yes.
And you know what? God has already said, I love you.
Yes.
How did he say it? I sent my son. I know you all don't deserve to be saved. But I'm coming down in the flesh.
Glory,
I'm going to the cross.
Yeah.
I said the wages for sin is death. I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to let him be crucified there for you. So nobody will ever tell you that I didn't punish sin. Yes, I did. Came down in the flesh, my son, was crucified, hung between two thieves, scandalized, ridiculed, talked about like a dog, flogged and beaten all night long, shed his blood for all their sins. And then that still didn't even kill him, but he had to submit his spirit into my hands. You see, and I did all that. Now, if you don't ever think you're going to stand in front of God and say, Lord, you didn't love me. What? I didn't love you. Did you see that ugly, grisly cross? Have you heard about it?
Yes.
I didn't love you. Did you see me forsake my son and turn my back and the whole world went black for a period of time? And you think I don't love you? He tasted death for every one of you, got up out of the grave, and if he hadn't done it, they could say, oh no, here's that body, and there wouldn't be anything to preach. If there's a dead body of Jesus, there's nothing to preach. The risen body of Christ is the reason that we're preaching.
Yes.
No other reason. The church could end if they could say, oh, here's the body of Jesus, and the people who hated him would have loved to bring that body right down on Main Street. And show it off. Here he is. He was nothing. That was nothing but a lie. They couldn't do it. The church grew, and that's why it's sweeping the world right now. And all the sin and all of the devil's work will not erase the fact that Jesus got out of the grave.
Amen.
And God configured the world around him, so you can't ignore him. No matter whether you believe or not. It's been 2015 years since he came. And all they had to do to shut down the church was produce that body. It didn't happen. So that's what you ought to have your rejoicing in right there. And that same Jesus that was taken up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. He was seen for 40 days after the resurrection. 10 days later was Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost came down on the church in fire, cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, it says in the book of Acts. So all of that was done to establish the succession of people that we call the church. The first order of business for the church is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Your own righteousness won't help you. A lot of people walking around in false religion, that's what false religion is my righteousness is going to get me right into the kingdom of God. Look at what I did.
Yes.
Look at all the philanthropy that I performed. Look at all the millions of dollars that I have given away. How can God forsake me of his kingdom? That's your righteousness. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, he said there's going to be prostitutes and sinners that call upon his name, that trust in his son. And they're going to be saved.
He
told the Pharisees, while your sons and daughters are going to be getting cast out because they think their righteousness is acceptable. You know, and God does not condone unrighteousness, but the most unrighteous thing we can do is think we can be righteous without God. That's the most unrighteous thing you can do, is to offer God the filthy rags of human works. He said, all our righteousnesses, O Lord, are as filthy rags. You can read it in Isaiah 64, verse 6. So anything man can produce on his own in the sight of God is filthy rags. And I don't want to gross you out this morning, but the Hebrew says menstrual cloth.
Yep, that's what it is.
That's what it says. That's what man's righteousness is.
Yep.
King James cleans it up, says it's filthy rags. You see, but think of what God really thinks about human righteousness.
Wow.
The only righteousness that's acceptable to him is his son,
yes,
crucified, buried, and risen from the grave.
That
news we call the gospel. God will save anyone who believes the gospel. That's good news, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It has to do with Christ. That's why the Bible in Matthew 6, 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus is his righteousness.
Yes, it is.
When you trust in Jesus, then God clothes you in the righteousness of Christ. So once we have done that, that's the first order of business for everybody. However, to remain on the correct path, it is needful that we set our position and direction on the path to heaven. Once you're saved, you want to change your direction. You've been going in the way of the world. Now turn around and follow God. How do you do that? You learn his word. And you start to be in the word so that you can be in agreement with God and apply that to your lives, what God has said in his word. And then you know you're heading in the right direction, and it's going to be taking you away from sin.
Amen.
It's going to be taking you into a more holy life.
Yes, it will.
It's going to be making you cleaner and cleaner.
Yes.
That's why the Jesus said, this do as often as you do this when we take the communion in remembrance of me.
That's right.
See, so Jesus has got to be at the center of whatever you do.
Amen.
You know what? I always need forgiveness. I always need cleansing.
Me too.
The more I study the word, the more heinous I realize I am.
Yes.
So I got to come to the table and say, God, you know, you showed me this week or this month that these things here are ungodly, that are in my mind. And I am guilty. I did those things. I thought about them. They could be the way you thought. Could be the way you treated somebody. Could be something you said that you didn't say it right.
Amen.
Or you said it with a bitterness that you shouldn't have.
Yes.
You know, and we do that. We like to cut people up with the tongue a lot of times. And when I come to this table, that's what I'm thinking about. It's those things I said. Did I speak to my wife wrong? Did I make her feel bad and she shouldn't have because of something I said? You know, did I say something to somebody at work in an unkind way that was not Christ-like?
Yes.
Did I have an ungodly thought in my mind about something? You know, it could be took a too long of a look at some woman I shouldn't have been looking at.
Yep.
Then she went by and she caught my eye too long. Mm-hmm. That's an adulterous look.
Yes, it is.
If you're married. Did I do that? If I did, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
If women do it too. Don't y'all just all look like the men all got done? Men, women take a look sometime. Or look at her. You know, look at that physique. Well, that physique ain't yours. This is your physique right here. You know what I'm saying? That shoe goes on both feet. You see what I'm saying? So don't just look at me. But we do these things. And this is the kind of stuff that gets in your mind that you need to confess.
That's right. Amen.
You need God to cleanse you. You need to make him give me eyes just for my wife, nobody else.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
See that? You want to have a pure mind thinking about the one he's given you.
Model. Right.
See, and you won't be able to do it easy. If you're being truthful,
you
can act like it doesn't exist, but it exists and you know it.
Amen.
So when you come to this table, that's what it's for. But that's why God has put the offering table, not just the offering, that's where you pay back to God just to support his church, but the communion table in the church.
Yes.
So it's a confession, just like the Jews used to have to bring a sacrifice. Every year, three times a year, to the temple.
Yes.
Why? Because y'all know you ain't doing all this. You know you're not doing it. Get your sacrifice. Get up here. Let the priest pray for you.
Yeah.
Offer that sacrifice to God because you know you're not 100% right.
No. That's right.
But I'm just merciful. God is merciful and he makes a way where you can still be clean. So we need this fellowship. It's important. Church is not secondary for me, not just because I'm the pastor.
All right. But
when I was not a pastor, I was at church. I come to church. I was doing outreach ministry, going out telling other people about Christ.
Yes.
But you can believe I called my happy hips to the church because I knew I needed it.
Right.
I need to be cleansed even before I started to pastor a church.
Yeah.
You know, and all along through, why? I need the church.
Oh, yes.
I need a place where I can come and be clean.
Me too.
Where people are like-minded who understand we're not in here. We were talking about hypocrisy at the Iron Man up there. What is it to be a hypocrite? You know, and there's some sense in which somebody wrote a blasting, blistering paper about how Christians are hypocrites.
Yep.
And that's why I don't go to church and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to write them back and tell them, well, you know, we hypocrites, all right, but there's plenty of room for more. You need to get yourself over here.
Yep.
Got more seats here. There's one for you, too, you hypocrite.
Yeah.
You think you're the only one? You know, you think only the hypocrites are here? You are worse one than me because you don't even admit that you got an issue. You think you can stand out there and criticize me? But you don't need to come and be cleansed from God. We admit it. That's the difference.
Yes, we do.
We might be hypocrites, but I'm coming to confess to God to wash me and make me clean.
Amen.
You know what? And Jesus covers me. That's the next thing. God provided my righteousness. He gives me his righteousness. That's the difference between me and you. God said, I'll cover you if you trust my son. You're out there talking about his son, and you won't come in and submit to the son. See what I mean? So who's the biggest hypocrite? I might be a hypocrite, but on judgment day, Jesus is my Lord. And he's going to say, Father, I know him. He was not ashamed of me. So neither am I ashamed of him. Come on into the presence of your Father. And I don't get there on my own. I know that. I have enough sense to know I need Jesus. And I'm not getting in without him. See, so that's the difference between somebody who wants to talk about people and say, oh, you are a hypocrite. Yeah, but what about you? Check your account.
Yes.
Find out, are you perfectly clean, and is God going to accept what you're putting down without his son?
All
right. The answer is no, he will not.
No way.
So we need to understand that. Let's move along. I digress.
That's all right. It was good.
But in either case, now, and another difference between the person that's saved who has a fixed stance on the things of God is I know where I stand. I can analyze myself. The Bible says if you judge yourself, you should not be judged. Because you know you better than anybody else in the room.
Oh, yes, you do.
You know what kind of stuff you think.
That's right.
Yes.
You know whether it's wrong or not.
Yes.
You know when you have a good thing going on, and this is righteous and it's pure, and I'm doing it for the right reason. The Holy Spirit bears witness with you when you're doing a good thing, and you know it's right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just work on the negative side. Mm-hmm. When you start doing stuff right, you feel that this is right. God confirms with you. But that's right. That's a good thing. That's wholesome. Keep doing that.
Yes.
You know, that honors me. It gives glory to me.
Amen.
And make sure when you do it, you don't take the glory.
That's right. Amen.
Give the glory to God. God is the one
that's
to help me where I could do this.
Right.
You see, that's another difference with the other hypocrite. You out there talking about what you did, but you don't give the glory to God.
Amen.
See? And if you don't give the glory to God, who do you think you are?
Amen.
The Bible says, if any man boasts, let him boast in the Lord.
That's right.
If you're going to boast, boast on how good your God is.
Amen.
How he took you from a slimy pit and put your feet on a rock.
Right.
How he began to wash your soul and cleanse your life.
Yeah.
Boast on him. How he brought you out of complete darkness and chains and has given me victory day by day.
Yeah.
He's given me cleansing where I can come and ask him to wash me and he'll do it.
Yeah.
See, and I'm boasting on him because he's great. I'm not great. But he is great, and his son is great, and he loves me, and I can boast on him all the time. So that's it. The difference is it is the glory of God and his works that must be at the center of all things that we do and involve ourselves in rather than the empty pursuits of the world and things of this life. People think, oh, okay, look what I'm doing, and they talk about what they did. Kind of like the man who said, oh, you know, I had a good crop last year. I'm going to tear down my barns and build some bigger barns.
Yep.
Store up even more. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Spirit said, don't you know, fool, that tonight your soul is required of you?
Tonight.
This very night. See, so we want to be careful about how we do things. Our stewardship is important. We're going to talk about that a lot in coming days. So I want you to see one more thing here before we move along. Look at the text in 2 Peter chapter 3. This now is, he says, this now, beloved, is the second letter I am writing to you, into which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Most of what the church does is reminds the saints. It's not that you haven't read the word. You need to hear it again.
Yes.
You need to take a fresh analysis of yourself based on the word you've already heard.
Yes, we do.
So I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, Peter says, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets, that would be the Old Testament, and the commandment of our Lord and Savior spoken by the apostles. See, that's the Old and the New Testament. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. He's already told us these people were coming.
Yep.
See that? Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. What do you mean Jesus is coming back? That's what the mockers say.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they don't believe it. They say everything is just like it was ever since the creation. Okay, for when this they maintain this, it escapes their notice that the word of God the heavens existed long ago. And the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with a flood.
Yes.
With water. And by his word, the present heavens are being reserved for fire, kept under the judgment and destruction for the, he says, kept for the day of judgment of destruction of ungodly men. See that? God has stored up fire. He promised it will not be water anymore. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in the which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. Old King James says fervent heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. That sounds like nuclear destruction.
Oh, yes, it does.
And so basically, we want to be prepared. We shouldn't be scared. We've already got a heads up. God says, I'm going to take you out before I bring destruction. And the more we learn about the word of God, which is the only credible source of truth, despite of what the critics say, the more Christ-like we can become as we are escalated more into the image of his glory, his image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The only way we get transformed is by meditating in the law of the Lord day and night.
Yes.
Amen. That's why Joshua was told, do not let the book of this law depart from your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. See, that's what's going to make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, the Bible says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes.
You know, trees stand there and they produce fruit. They get tossed and blown. The winds blow and they get attacked with locusts and all kinds of different things. But they continue to produce. Especially a well-watered tree.
Yes.
You know, and God says, I want you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season.
Oh, yes.
His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Yes.
See, God promises you prosperity if you trust in him with all your heart.
That's right.
Lean not to your own understanding. Don't think you have to figure it all out. That's why a lot of people don't come into church.
Yeah.
They think, well, we got to figure it out. What is the difference between evolution and science and the Big Bang Theory? Well, you're not going to figure that out. You're going to get old and die before you figure it out. And God has already given his son, put him in a beautiful place in history so that you have to acknowledge him.
That's right.
He's not against you. You're fighting him with all your might, going against God. But God is here for you. He loves you. He's ready to take you just like you are today. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't have any ill wish for you at all.
Right.
No matter who you are, no matter what you've done. But he says, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you trust my son, I've given him to you, made him famous in the world, all around you, so that you can say, I trust Jesus.
Yes.
And I trust your word. You know what? When you start studying the word, it's going to make a lot more sense to you.
Oh, yes, it
when
will.
You believe God and you're not at war with him.
Amen.
He's not at war with you. He loves you.
Yes, he does.
He wants you to be saved.
Yes.
He wanted it so much, he allowed his only son to be crucified to give you a right to the tree of life.
You
will not tell God, you didn't love me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was too confusing, God. I couldn't figure it out. Were you confused about that calendar? 2015, how'd they get like that?
Yes.
Did Buddha do that? No. Did Muhammad do that? No. Did Confucius do that? No. In fact, when you tell me about any of them, you got to tell me in reference to Jesus when they lived.
Yep.
And when they died.
Amen.
And they did die, and they're in the grave. So whatever they were teaching couldn't get them, keep them out of the grave. Couldn't get them out of the grave.
Follow.
But the Bible says, come the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he'll get the glory then. So you can either glorify him now, or you can glorify him then.
Amen.
It's better to do it now.
Amen.
So we the doors of the church are open. We'd like to have you come. The second sacrament that he mentions is baptism. Some of you have been baptized. In fact, we have a certificate of baptism that we want to present to Brother Outlaw. And we missed him last week. And so we want to see if it's still in the house here today. I think it is. And want to present that to him at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Our member Michael Outlaw was baptized the week before his wedding.
Amen.
So we want to present this to you. Amen. It's for the commitment that you have made to the Lord, and we thank God for you.
Yes.
We pray his blessings on your family.
Yes.
Amen. Anything to say? Would you like anything at all? You can if you like. You don't have to. Amen. Amen. All right, brother. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We thank God. It's our great joy to baptize people into the family of God. Get lots of joy out of that. Amen. And so we thank God. We want to continue to pray for the newlyweds and all the rest of our couples and married people here at the church and those that are seeking and all that. Keep that on your prayer list.
Yes.
You know, because people want to do, and sometimes they get hung up and stuff, and they don't make a commitment. Mm-hmm. Amen. But if you're here today and you have not been saved, or if you are a member of a church and would like to join your membership to St. Timothy, we invite you to come as a member by letter, candidate for baptism, or a Christian experience at this time. Amen. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come, come to Jesus, make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you. And if there are any other matters or comments that anyone has or would like to make, we have just a minute. We'd like to give you our space to do that. If you have anything you'd like to say or address to the church, amen.
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 Amen. All right, that sounds great. We will do that. We thank God for the reminder.